Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, January 26, 2016. We had a big winter storm this weekend, but it did not keep our friend Andy Gonstaller coming from Germany with his Shelton Brothers crew. We got Ann Becerra. Thank you for joining me again as our winter co-host, Ann.
Yeah, I survived, Jonas, at the bar like a good New Yorker.
I think a lot of us spent time at the bar this weekend,
so
didn't
too.
We? It was
sure.
A good one. And yeah. We got some friends coming on later from Tiny Field Roof Hop Farms that are pretty great, Keely and Katrina. So, hi, guys.
Hey, all right. Hi. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Us.
And our, you know, we're going to build this show around because Andy, some people have called him the best brewer in the world. He is very humble and modest, and he's not saying that. But it's cool that, you know, and in the world we know of great German brewers like Sebastian Sauer and, you know, like Stefan Mars, those guys really think highly of him. And I think it's the first time that you've been in the States, is that true?
No, that's not true, but the first time in New York. I was maybe three or four times in the U.S., but more in California or Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah. And we got Joel Shelton and B.R. Roya, who are such great people in the industry. They're here with him.
We've been in America many times.
You have. So tell us the backstory on Andy and how you guys met him and...
I didn't meet Andy originally. I think my brother Dan met you first.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes, that's correct.
When was that, Andy?
That was maybe 12 years ago.
12 years ago, Shelton time is only like 8 years normal time.
Okay.
But Dan's a real Frankenphile. He loves, you know, Franconia in Germany, and he met Andy a long time ago. He worked in a different brewery back in those days, and we finally nailed him down and got his beer into the U.S. this year or last year.
Well, I know you guys have some great beers from there as well, like Weizenoa, Mars. What are some of the other ones?
Well, of course, Freigeist, Sebastian
mentioned.
Rittergut's Goza, the great Goza.
Yeah, that's one of Jimmy's favorites too, mine too.
Oh, yeah. We all love that. So we have a small but august collection of German brewers, and Andy's our newest acquisition, and we're very, very excited about that.
So, Andy, what are some of the things that you do as a brewer that are unique?
Yeah, my experience is more than 30 years. I started with 50 years for home brewing, and that's going up. And so I was over 20 years in Bamberg in a brewery, and out of 2007, I left and built up my own brewery, and so that's my passion.
And I have some notes on you, and I know that Joel and BR are going to step in and talk with you a little bit. So you were a journeyman brewer. You moved from a small Franconian village brewery to the next, but finally seems to have settled on establishing his brand, Gonstaller Brau, at the old Friedel Brewery in a tiny Franconian village called Schneid.
Schneid.
Is that correct?
Yes.
That's what those are Justin's notes. So,
yeah.
And you guys want to give some backstory on him as well, Joel or BR?
Well, Andy was brewed in. You brewed in Mars, correct? A little bit Mars.
No, in Mars I don't brew. I was more in the management.
Yeah. Oh, he's from management, Jimmy. I didn't even know that. This is new to me. He didn't tell me that when I signed him up. But you were in Beck Brewery?
Yeah, in the Beck Brewery in Davidsov, and here I got very nice experience, and here I started also with a craft beers. Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2007.
Great. Well, part of what we're going to talk about today is, you know, local ingredients. I know that Franconia is in Bamberg. It's the home of so much that we love as beer lovers, you know, grains and hops and everything. Are you able to get still malts and grains and hops from your region or not?
Yes. The malt, also the hop, comes from our region, but also I use from the USA, and a little bit of Slovenia or England or New Zealand, Australia. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the most is German and U.S. up.
And are you familiar with any of those Franconian breweries that we mentioned? Like Mars and Freigeist?
Yeah. Yes, the Saphir Weiss, I want to say I had on the most recent. Big fan. I just was curious if there's any American hops that you've discovered lately that blew you away or that you're really excited to work with or brew with that you haven't before. Because I can imagine there's so many going up just for here and we're used to it.
I believe that's the Mosaic hop. Yeah.
The Mosaic, yeah.
Mosaic hop.
I like it very much.
So do I.
Yeah, man. Well, I like this beer. So, what is the beer that we're drinking?
That's Zeugel.
Zeugel.
And the name comes from the Oberpfalz. And at Zeugel, that's in earlier time. That's a kind of a dialect. The word in German is Zeiger, and Zeiger means a sign. And that was in earlier time. When the restaurant is open, this was a sign on the house. It was like a arrow that's keeping in up, so it was open, and it's keep down, so it was closed, the restaurant. And in the time, the dialect changed from Zeiger to Zeigel to Zeugel, and that means Zeugel. And Zeugel is not a kind of a beer. That's just unfiltered beer directly away, tapped out of the tank, and it's a nice unfiltered beer.
You guys have so many great traditions there, and we're going to learn more about it tonight. So, talking about local ingredients, and you know, from Germany, where so many, I still think Germany makes such great beers, and I'm really looking forward to tasting more of your beers tonight. But we got some kids in Brooklyn. You guys are in the Pfizer building, and one of the things you're growing is hops. So tell us about your little project and why you're on the show today.
We are Keely and Katrina. We are the co-founders and co-farmers of Tiny Field Roof Hop Farm, and we grow Cascade hops on top of the Pfizer pharmaceutical building. It's an old former pharmaceutical factory that now has a bunch of amazing food businesses and other things kind of happening in the building. And we grow currently 60 Cascade plants, and we're going to be increasing our production for the next year and hopefully years to come. And we grow some other greens. We grow microgreens and salad greens in a greenhouse that we constructed this year on the roof as well.
And why did you guys pick Cascade to grow? And are there other hops varieties that you're going to grow as well?
We sort of, it was a debate between Centennials and Cascades, and we sourced them from Hudson Valley Hops. It's a guy named Justin who grows hops in Dutchess County, and he works to sort of source and grow hops locally to distribute throughout the Hudson Valley and New York City. So we sourced them from him in the spring of 2015 and started growing them. And we just thought Cascades would be a really nice variety to grow for the kind of beers that we like to drink. And we knew that Cascades are hearty and they'd be really good for, you know, this climate in New York City.
I've talked to other brewers. I have some friends up in New England growing hops, and they all seem to say they're growing Cascades too. Mm-hmm. I know, Anne, have you experienced?
Well, I just think the New York, I haven't had her, they're Brooklyn Cascades. Yeah, no, you know, I haven't had beers brewed from Brooklyn Cascade, but the New York Cascade is completely different than what I'm used to when I think Cascade hops. Mm-hmm. You know, the West Coast sort of big, bold flavors. We brewed a beer at Strong Rope recently, and we kind of did a little staff training, you know, with all the hops. We pulled out every hop he had, and the difference between the New York, you know, Cascades and the ones that we had were just night and day. And I think it's really interesting to see the terroir coming back to New York and being able to see like what our water does and what, you know, our conditions can do to something and then translate it into the final beer.
And New York used to have a lot of hops growing in the state. And so I think there's a resurgence, especially with craft breweries growing and people really wanting to connect to local ingredients with their beers. And I think that with the water and other sort of environmental conditions that we're really protecting here in New York State, being in the epicenter of kind of craft brew here in New York City is a great place to be. And our Cascades turned out really well.
So. Awesome.
Can I do a quick segue back to Germany for a second on the same subject? Is it seems to be... It's, okay. All right, never mind. Or we're going to commercial. No. The reason beer is sort of considered to have come from the area where Andy comes from is precisely because the water and the hops are so good there. That it was, that's where hops really came from. And the water is... There's a huge underground spring in Czech Republic and Germany around there. And that's why they were famous for... That's why they created beer in the first place there. So it really ties in with what they're saying about the good water here in Brooklyn and the good, you know, soil for hops and such.
Andy, have you ever made beer anywhere else besides Franconia? It's like we're talking about like local beer. For you, local is like Franconia or even your town, right?
Yes, that is.
Have you ever made beer anywhere else besides Franconia?
Just in cooperation, yeah. But so I was in many times in Italy, also in Netherlands and with De Molen and Sweden.
Yeah, we saw you did some really cool collaborations with De Molen and Birra del Borgo.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
And Birra, give us a little background, because you know you're with Shelton Brothers and you've been on a lot of shows. You know, how do you see Ganstahl fitting in? And
what's pretty cool.
Why should we buy
that? Well, you know, I think buying and drinking local is very important as well, which sounds strange coming from an importer, but in some respects, a lot of people, they can't afford to travel. You know, they don't have the chance to go to every single tiny town in Franconia. And that's why we try to bring the best of what we found over there here for people to try. And especially someone like Andy, who's using traditional methods, you know, using a cool ship, brewing some very traditional styles, yet also working with American hops, not afraid to innovate while still maintaining a certain traditional base. And, you know, those are things that we really find interesting. And for a lot of our brewers, you know, we work with ones like Sebastian from Freigeist, who's and Monarchy, going back, finding these very, very old style recipes, or traditional brewers like Mars and Rittergutz. But on the other hand, you know, we've got some brewers who are doing some very, very experimental things as well. And so it's just nice to pick from the range of that.
And you're a good ambassador for Andy and Joel as well. So on that, like, what else is he doing as a brewer? I mean, I didn't know he was using cool ships. You know, what are some of the brewing processes that he's doing that the people
right now,
are saying is the
and
best
Andy
brewer in the world?
And Andy can speak more on this, is brewing ales, but with bottom fermenting cooler temperatures. So, you know, kind of subduing the fruitiness that you would get from the warmer temperatures.
Okay. We just brew beer with button fermented yeast and Kurship used in 50 years ago. That was instead of a real bull. And that's the only thing, the trap settled down and the wort could steam out very clear. And that's And I have a flavor for old stuff, and so I use the cool ship and also for the quality, and that's my passion, yes.
Yeah, Andy's a strange combination of very, very traditional Bavarian and what they would call craft beer in Germany now, which sort of means U.S. influenced, because he's doing the U.S. hop thing and doing the ale styles, but he's got the bottom fermentation, doing it the right way, the decoction mash and the cool ship and all the old traditional brewing methods. So that's why it gets this texture that's so round, you guys can tell it. And the flavor's really full. It's not a watery flavor, it's really rich. Even
this,
when
this
the lighter
is the
stuff.
Next beer that with the Doppelbock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What beer is this?
The Schwarz beer?
Yeah,
the
Schwarz beer.
That's a Baltic border style, and that's a 6.7 ABV. And that's absolutely nice in flavor for chocolate, bitterness, and that's have everything what also have a top fermented beer. Yeah,
this is great. This to me is like begging for food. You know, I think it's a really great. I love the style of Schwarz beer anyway, but it's a little stronger from the Schwarz beer that I'm used to, and I could drink this with a burger, you know, and some sausage. The caramelized, carbonized flavors and the really clean finish. This is awesome. Really unique.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. And Keely and Katrina, you know, you're growing hops, but do you drink a lot of beers?
Yes, as much as we can.
Yeah. What are some beers that you're drinking these days?
I love everything that Other Half is doing, honestly. They're a new brewery in Brooklyn, and they're doing some really innovative stuff. Really delicious.
And I live really close to Threes Brewing in Gowanus, and I love that they're just always churning out new brews. And so I fill up a growler from them like every other week. And I really love all kind of kinds of beer, but I think hoppy varieties are really my jam. So I think that's kind of why we really wanted to try to up our hops production so we can brew a hoppier
beer. And you get to hang out with the brewers now, right?
Yeah. Do you know what? Is there anybody that we know? Yeah. Is there anybody that we know that's used your hops in their beers yet?
We're currently working with Lithology Brewing out of Long Island. So they're a small, newer brewery as well.
That's great. Joel?
I was just going to do a plug. Speaking of threes, Andy's going to be at threes tomorrow night at 6 with his Zorgalon draft and hanging out with Greg, the brewer there, and seeing what American craft
Andy, are you going to make a beer at threes with Greg?
Sorry.
Later, you're going to. Is he going to collaborate on a beer with Greg at threes?
Yeah. In the future, yeah.
Sometime absolutely. In the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
That's cool. Hey, we're just getting started on the show. It's really awesome. And we all came out. It's like a winter storm in New York City, and everybody's chilling out. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Thank you.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Winter storm's done, Ann. It's New York City, Heritage Radio Network. Wow.
Yeah, the winter storm is done, but can you tell the sludge to get the...
Did you know that this is the city that never sleeps and that now whenever it snows, they shut down almost everything? that's our campaign for next year.
Except the bars, though. Again, like I said, we always fare well, you know.
So which bar were you working at on Saturday, and how late did you stay
As
open?
A lovely friend, I covered a shift, and I worked at Blind Tiger, and we were slammed, and then I was at Dive Bar, and they were slammed, and basically every place I passed that was open and pumping was slammed, and everyone was having a great time playing in the snow. I mean, nothing can really hold us down.
So it's like being on the desert island that last night when you know you might die. I'll give you an inside story at Jimmy's number 43. I can only tell this to my listeners. On Saturday night, there was one customer. She really got into it. She started throwing popcorn at people, and everyone wanted to catch it. And it became a thing where everyone had to throw the popcorn and everyone had to catch it. Crazy things like that happen in New York when there's a snowstorm, you know?
Yeah, you got to make
people
up your own games.
Their priorities straight.
Yeah.
that doesn't get passed here, right, Jimmy?
No. Nobody's listening. But so we got Andy Gonstaller from Gonstaller Brau. I want you guys each to ask a question, whether it's about what he does with hops or technique, because this is really one of the great brewers that's coming out of Germany right now.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if there's any particular traditional German style of brewing that incorporates a wet hop.
Or fresh hop.
Yep.
Yeah, fresh hop.
We don't use fresh hop. We use always pellets because we have no technical in the brewery. But that's very close to. We only use really fresh hop.
Yeah, and then for Joel and BR to build on that, what is the role of hops in German beer? I mean, compared to what's going on in America,
for most of the styles in Franconia, where Andy comes from, and in the south of Germany, the use of hops is traditionally more of a balance of the malt as opposed to the main flavor. To put it really bluntly. So you don't, and you can tell from Andy's beers, you don't go, wow, there's a hop blast whatsoever. But it was always a balancing off of the hop, the malt, and that's what it existed for in the first place. And so you won't get, for the most part, that American thing.
So they're not going to do like a wet hop beer.
Well, they will. I think Andy's going to do stuff like that. Yeah. The ones we're having here are kind of malty, I would say. But in general, the tradition has been people would say more malt forward just because the hops are more balancing and they don't pop out. The idea in German beer is everything's balanced. Nothing pops out. It's just a big beer flavor. And you don't pick out the ingredients separately, which I think is what really would the
and
idea.
And then would you say if, like, let's say the Tiny Field Roof Hops sent some hops, how would you guys send hops to him? Would you send him fresh hops like FedEx? I mean, have you done that yet?
He might get stopped at customs if it smells.
Well, the deal with wet hops is they need to be brewed within 72 hours of harvest. So getting them to Andy would be a bit of a difficulty, I would say.
All right, so you can't really get hops from them. But
he could brew it in the U.S. with threes or something. With great. Maybe that's a project. You guys can... Oh, I see the birth of a project.
I see it. It's happening. Light bulb.
That sounds good. You have a question for Andy?
Have you brewed any beers without hops? Have you ever brewed a Groot or anything that doesn't use hops? Or would you like to?
Not really. Just one time, I brewed a mix with hop and herbs. Mm-hmm. That's a myrrh. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's came from Gotland, from Sweden. I have friends in Sweden, and they brought me the fresh myrrh, and I put it in the
myrrh like in the Bible, bishop. Like
yeah,
like frankincense and myrrh.
No, that was very funny.
Well, what is myrrh?
Myrrh.
That's, nobody knows what myrrh is.
That's plants.
Do you know what myrrh is in?
Well, it's not
is it like
gold.
It's not gold frankincense. Dust. It's not gold dust.
It's basically the lamest present to get. And I'm just kidding. Of the three,
but it's obviously very important because it's in the Bible, Jimmy.
But what is myrrh? Nobody knows. Somebody, a tweeter at beer underscore session, somebody say, what is myrrh? And you got a free Beer Sessions Radio t-shirt. How about that?
Do you remember in Life of Brian where they brought him all the gifts of myrrh and his mom said, don't worry about the myrrh next time so much.
Yeah,
it's never been popular,
that's
myrrh.
So
what do I think that BR knows what myrrh is?
I do not.
You do not? He's like the most literate person in the room. Come
I know Balladine brews a beer with myrrh, and I know he does, and that's about the extent.
I think we need Justin or Jack to jump in. Somebody's going to tell us what's myrrh. Nobody knows.
Anybody
is there a myrrhologist anywhere here?
Myrhologist.
Good Lord.
So that's a crazy...
What is myrrh?
All right. So that's a good question. Okay. So talking about all these ingredients brings us to, you know, the essence of the history of German beer, which we know is the Reinheitsgebot Law. And we know that the 500th anniversary of that's coming up.
In April.
And Sebastian Sauer, our buddy from Fry Guys, put out an invitation to everyone around the world to comment on it or host a party. But he's not happy with it. Why is he not happy with it, Joel?
He's not totally unhappy with it, but he just doesn't like the fact that up until now you can't call something that doesn't have other hops, yeast, water, and barley. You can't call it beer, technically. You can make stuff
in Germany.
You can call it Goza, for example. It has salt in and all that. So it's technically...
So Goza's not a beer in Germany.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, ultimately, but...
What are some of the other styles that can't be called beers?
Well, anything without those ingredients, I think, except for there's some weird rules that some princes managed to get their buddies to get around them. But for the most part, German beer is from those four things. And wheat is okay. BR might jump in.
They made the exception for wheat a couple hundred years ago. But it was, it can only be brewed with barley or some sort of malt, hops, water, and since they discovered yeast. Any sort of spices, any other ingredients are fruits, for example. You can't technically call it a beer. We can call it a beer here in the U.S., but they can't put beer on the label in Germany.
Yeah, because like last week, Sebastian Sauer, who we love, he posted on Facebook, oh, it's coming up the 5th anniversary of Reinheitsgebot Law, and we're going to like break it or something. And he put Andy's name was on there. That's why I'm bringing it up.
So he dragged Andy's name in?
Yeah. So what would Andy be making a beer that doesn't adhere to the purity law?
He has to speak for himself. Yeah. Andy, are you breaking the law, Andy?
Okay. No. Reinheitsgebot is very important for me. And just for getting some experience, I brew other kind of beers with herbs or something like that. But in the future, I only brew for the Reinheitsgebot. And you could brew so different beers with the Reinheitsgebot. That's amazing to use just malt, hop, and the yeast. That's amazing, and I want to show the people what different stuff is going on with different hop from U.S. and in combination with a,
so what
with
about
a German
this,
hop.
This next beer we have.
Yeah, the next is a double Weizenbock wheat beer. That's also brewed with a button fermented yeast, and But
this is really good.
It's a little bit difficult.
This to me is what the kind of beer coming out of Germany that will blow people away. I love this.
This has such an amazing fresh aroma, and the first hit of it on your mouth. It's just this is what German beer tastes like, and nobody else can do it quite like this.
But you're saying, so you're working with just the grains, hops, yes, yeast, and water.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I want to know more about your technique, because, you know, we got hop growers here, we got beer experts, but what is your technique? I read that you, in your Doppelbock, you do a thrice decocted.
Yeah, the problem is with the bottom fermented yeast that you get not the nice ester taste with a higher temperature in the top fermented. And so I used the maximum of the bottom fermented temperature, and also with a right hop. So you must do which kind of hop is good for the wheat beer, and so that's the result.
PR.
And one thing about the decoction method is there are very few brewers, commercial brewers, who still use that. It's very labor intensive. It's very time consuming. And a lot of brewers say that now that we have malts that are so well modified, you don't really need that to get the conversion of the starches to sugars. But we found, and Joel can back me up on this, any brewer that we've imported, or any beers, commercial brewers even in the U.S. who use a decoction method, you can really taste the difference. The malt is just so much more round. There's sort of a lack of the grainy astringency. It just makes just a wonderful mouthfeel and fuller body. Even if the beer itself is fairly light, there's just so much more character and flavor to it with decoction, I find.
Yeah, to put it simply, it's less watery. That's the effect it has. It feels like the ingredients are married with the water more. You don't feel like, oh, there's barley and water. It just feels like some rich stuff that they call beer in Germany, and a lot of Germans aren't doing it anymore. And it's really nice that our Franconian guys are doing it still, because it really adds a roundness that you don't get anywhere else.
It's like putting a little bit of pasta water in the sauce. It just brings it all together.
Is that what it's like?
I mean, when you're eating it, it doesn't slip right off. I get it.
Well, I'll say a couple of our listeners have been writing in about they want us to post on Untappd the beers that we're drinking, because we really get to drink some great beers. So I don't know if these beers are on Untappd.
One is, because I checked it in yesterday.
So this is the Ganstadt beer. Just tell us exactly what this beer is, because this is my favorite beer. If we're saying this is my favorite beer of the show so far, and probably my favorite beer of the day. So
it was listed as
only 5:30.
XL2 Amber Weizenbach. So from Ganstaller.
But it even says bottom fermented at the bottom.
It does say bottom fermented.
So do you think the trend is that there'll be more information on labels like this? You know, bottom fermented. I mean, what do you think about that, Anne? Don't you think there should be, rather than so many American brewers are just making up weird names for their beers?
I'm all about the more information, the better. I mean, I think especially now there's so many choices. And, you know, I'm like, this is what I do. Yeah, it's easy for me to kind of, it's good for me that I have a bar that I can explain to people. But I couldn't imagine walking into a bottle shop these days and not knowing what you're looking for and not having someone that's competent behind the, you know, the register. And it's like, how do you pick?
Yeah,
you know,
so I say more information for sure.
More information, yeah, for sure.
I mean, is that a trend in Germany? I mean, you think that?
I think it's starting to be. Germans haven't until recently said much about the beer because it's just beer for them. Whether it's really good or not, it just was beer, and they don't think, oh, no one really cares how we do it. They're more like craftsmen than artists. We kind of think of it like this artistic thing, but for them, it's always been a craftsman thing. And I think Andy's just likes to point out that it's bottom fermented ale because it's just, because he's a brewer and it's interesting to him, and he's unusual in that way, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. You don't find any bottom fermented Weizen in Germany. That's came out of my stomach. I thought, why I cannot brew a beer that's normally top fermented with bottom fermented yeast, and so I tried, and so I got it.
I'll say.
Yeah, it's really unique. I mean, I don't think it suffers in aroma or, you know, anything that you would get from ale yeast. It's good.
Yeah. And so, Keely and Katrina, so now that you're growing hops on your rooftop, and it's what, you're going to be your second season?
Yes.
You guys are real pros, right? I know you have a bigger story behind you, but what are things that you would want to know from a brewer? Let's say you're going to go to Threes with Andy, and they're going to make a beer with your hops. I mean, is there anything that you're learning that you would want to know what the brewer would want from your hops, or how are you presenting the how are you presenting your hops to the brewer?
I think, I mean, well, so what I'm curious about is I don't actually, I've brewed a couple times with friends in the past, but I don't actually know what types of things they're looking for necessarily in the aroma or in the taste. I do on a certain level, but just having a brewer with me, I think, would be really helpful to, you know, have some.
So you need more brewers' input on what you're growing and everything.
Right. I think there needs just to be more connection between people who are using your ingredients and people who are producing.
That's cool.
Them.
Maybe you could invite some local brewers to come up and help you plant the hops. And we were talking about doing something like that where people, in the old days, there was a hop harvest. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it happened in Germany and happened in upstate New York. People would go there basically on vacation and help harvest the hops, and they had a connection with that farm and the brewery and things.
Yeah, I think there's just so many really great local breweries happening in New York now. And, you know, you mentioned Strong Rope earlier. Jason's really doing some great beers
at a
larger scale.
He's only using New York State ingredients for all his beers.
The Farm Brewery Bill is kind of why we sort of wanted to get a kickstart on this anyway, and just sort of start producing now and make more and more hops available to New York brewers. But, you know, we want to cultivate relationships with local brewers who care a lot about sourcing their ingredients locally. And we also really love working and learning about, like, women brewers and, you know, really keeping things kind of connected in this beer community and in this food community in New York. So we're really excited to be a part of it.
And you're not just growing hops, right? It's greens and everything. Are your produce in any restaurants, or where are you selling that or giving that away? Or what are you doing with the greens, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, we've been in a few different restaurants. We've worked with Carnem. We have a constant relationship going with Colony on Atlantic and Smith, somewhere
Clinton.
In that area. Somewhere in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn Heights.
And you're on the rooftop of the Pfizer building, which isn't too far from here, is it?
We are,
it's
we're like about flushing. 20 minutes away. Yep.
All right, guys, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. And, you know, we've been through the storm, and we got a guy flew in from Germany in the middle of the storm, and, you know, we made it out to, Roberta is in the middle of the storm. But, Jack, do you know what myrrh is?
We found out, yes. It's an aromatic resin from a bunch of thorny tree species. So it's basically used in throughout history as a perfume, an incense, and sometimes a medicine.
So then, Andy, you're making a beer with myrrh.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? At what point are you putting the myrrh into the brew?
I tried a beer from Lager, and it was brewed with myrrh, and I loved the taste. And so I thought, okay, I make a beer.
When in the process do you put it? Like in the boil? Do you do it during fermentation? When do you include it?
I took the myrrh in the cool ship for 20 minutes when the temperature goes down to 85, 90 degrees Celsius. And so I push in the cool ship for 50 minutes. Yeah.
I want to talk more about that, your cool ship. Joel, have you been to Gonstaller?
Oh, yeah. I've been a couple times. And it's a little tiny brewery in the village of, it's Hollerndorf? Hollerndorf?
Yeah.
It's a suburb of Schneid, which is another village. So that's
You had a lot of fun telling us about Franconia, man.
If you guys,
knows where the old Friedel Brewery is, and
Friedel,
and who knows where Schneid is, you know?
Well, everybody knows where Schneid
is. And who knows where Bamberg is? That's a good. That's
where
Twitter
too.
Who knows
what Myrrh is?
Who knows where Germany is?
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah. But this area of the world, Jimmy, I always like to point this out. It's the only place left in the world that you can go to every little village, and there's a brewery there. Not every village, literally, but it used to be like that everywhere in the world, and still in Franconia and called Franken in Germany, you can travel around and go to village, you have a little brewery similar to what Andy's working in. And
But the cool ship. So what?
The
so
cool ship.
We know at Peekskill they have a cool ship. OEC, which is in Connecticut, has a cool ship in this area. Allagash. But is it novel for a Franconian brewer to have a cool ship?
Unusual?
Yeah, in earlier time, yes. But right now, in the moment, that I know just four other breweries without our nuts. It's no more moment.
Can I point out that in the room with the Cool Ship, Andy has a collection of American license plates on the wall. Just to show what a complex guy he
Sometimes
really is.
Sometimes he throws them in at the end to give a little metallic flavor with just, the myrrh, you know.
He's like this old school guy, but he's always got this American modern twist.
You know what? Actually, BR told me before. He takes the myrrh, the resin, wipes it on his neck like a baseball player, and then puts it into the Cool Ship.
And then comes out with no fingers.
And he's naked when he's doing it, of course.
Oh, yeah. We can say a lot about you, Andy, but you know, we appreciate that you came and you're on an English language show. You understand everything,
yes.
But I know it's tough. Like I said, ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch, but that's about all I can say.
That's pretty good.
And I Prost. Can say it. We know Prost.
Yeah, I can say I was in Deutschland in 1983, which means 1983. But
exactly,
I know snippets. Wow. But that was 6 years of high school and college German. Just so you know, American education. So.
One sentence he got out of it.
Yes.
One
but more stuff. Let's go deeper to this Franconia, man, because these kids have to go over there and learn about the culture of
put on your dirndls and
one of the great beer cultures in the world. And have you ever been to Bamberg in Franconia?
That's my next trip.
Yeah, and we're really trying to play that
summer.
Out. And every year, you know, I get from you guys. What you guys do is, who is the guy that collects all the gravity kegs? There's one brewer in Franconia.
Urban Winkler in Weissenau, Klosterbrauer in Weissenau. He collects
Weissenau.
All the
gravity kegs. So every year I get a number of the, I call them gravity kegs.
Yeah, yeah.
We put one each weekend on the bar at Jimmy's number 43. What it's I like real. About it, it's like an old tradition. It's like the you put the keg up, it's I take it out of the fridge, and by the end of the night it should be tapped. There's no CO2. You know, we've talked about different cast systems. There's no preservatives. It's just fresh beer. You put it on the bar.
That's what they do in the pubs in the little countryside in the villages.
So they're still doing that there regularly.
Yeah, real beer, real lager.
But so Weisenauer, so let's tell us your stable of these great Franconians. So Weisenauer, he's the guy that's organizing that. And I know there's different breweries involved.
There's a few other ones.
Mars does it.
Mars used to do it, and they stopped doing it because they didn't want to bother
Andy, anymore. Will you be sending gravity kegs to the United States? Next year? Never.
Next year, okay.
Maybe.
Year.
Yeah.
It's actually very time-consuming, and Urban does it as a labor of love, and it's really hard to clean the little barrels. And so it's a thing we do because we love to do
it. I saw a video. It was like you basically had a hose coming from the tanks and just
really
fill them
tough.
Up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you have to
– And you and I could go do that.
Sure.
We'll just go and just
they would
fill
love
up
that.
The,
they would love that.
Listen, that sounds great.
Put it on the bar and drink it.
Oh, Shelton Brothers is always happy to invite everybody to come join us for our trip to Franconia every summer. We go to a really great festival in the mountains called Lawnfest where you drink liters of beer. And then the next day we go to Kulmbacher with a little parade in the little town and crack open the big barrels in Kulmbach and the band's playing and you fall down a lot and stuff. Anybody who wants to come can be our guest.
Yeah,
and you'll have we brought the folks from Pretty Things, Dan and Martha. And they said, this is the best time we ever had in our lives. And you know they've had a good time in their lives.
Well, give me a big window. So you still got you have other Franconian breweries.
Oh, yeah,
you're
yeah.
Not telling me. I want
Mars,
the whole list.
We mentioned Marsbrough in Bamberg, and where Andy used to be the corporate guy there, which kind of disappointed me that he said that. But we have Urban Winkler in Weissenauer, Klosterbrauer in Weissenauer, which is a brewery that existed 10 years after, what's the oldest brewery?
Weinstephan.
Yeah, it's actually 10 years younger than the oldest brewery in the world. And in Franconia, and we have a Bayer, which sends us only gravity kegs, and we have Löwenbräu Buttenheim, which is where Levi Strauss comes from. They send us a little gravity keg, but we don't have any other Franconians. Yeah. We can't take everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, of all the breweries that you've traveled to, has there been one that stood out in terms of either the way that they brew, the ingredients they use, their methodology? Like, is there anything that really stood out to you that you were inspired by either in the U.S. or across Europe?
Good question.
Yep. I didn't understand.
Exactly. Oh, sorry. I'll slow it down.
Too good of a question.
So if you've been to several breweries,
yeah.
Is there one that really stands out that you said, oh, wow, I like what they're doing, or that inspired you?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oscar,
yeah. Okay.
Whoa. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I know some German.
Okay. In Germany, I know the breweries, and for me, it's more important. I travel to in the foreign, Italy or Neverland.
So he went to Birra del Borgo. What was the system like, and what were you making? What kind of beer? How about that?
We made a seasonal lager, And we used also coriander and spicy things. And so I didn't use before. And so it was a very nice experience for me.
And then you went to De Molen. Yeah. What kind of beer did you make there?
Baltic Porter style. And
is that the one that we just drank? Or that's
no,
a different one?
That's most yeah. different, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, and then last year I was at an arcade brewery, and we brewed with Groots, yeah.
In Sweden,
yeah.
Narka.
And then, Joel, what's the itinerary for Andy? So you're here in New York. Last night you guys were at Spite and Dival. Tonight we're going to Jimmy's number 43. You're all invited.
Jimmy's number 43 is tapping the Soigel for the first time.
Soigel on draft.
It's first time in America, actually.
Is it? At Jimmy's number 43?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't know. He paid us $50 for that.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy did. I paid for the beer. I can say that.
That's an old
way. And then we have something in bottle, too, the Doppelbock. Or is it the Weizenbach?
The Amber Weizenbach, which is...
Nice! I am so psyched! I have a keg of this! Guys, this is my first bottle release.
No, you don't have a keg of that. You just have a bottle of that.
A case. The Gansteller, the Amber Weizenbach, which is my favorite beer of the day.
Liquid
we
gold.
Have one case at Jimmy's number 43.
Yeah, that's the...
Tonight.
That's the my favorite beer in the
it's gonna
world,
be gone.
Practically. I could drink that all night, and then I would...
And the last thing, you guys are going out. You're going to a festival, too.
He's going to Rate Beer Festival in California.
Oh, and now Justin's going, too. So Justin's lucky.
So are some of the folks here, yeah. But... So he's doing a bigger U.S. tour. He's just stopping in New York just to tease us a little bit.
So how is it that the guy who's like one of the smallest brewers in Germany gets invited to a big beer festival in California?
Good
question. Is that you're doing or they just found him?
Andy, did you do it behind our backs? What happened, Andy?
I think BR knows.
That's absolutely amazing for me. And I don't know. I brewed the different beers and... that came anytime from Colorado, Michael James, and visited us, and he rate our beers, and so that's going to be more and more.
It's based on the top yeah. rated rate beers.
Well, Andy is very, very highly rated in the German beer world, and I think that's what the Rate Beer Fest is about. BR, is that correct?
It is. My experience is more in making sure that my Canadian brewers got the beers to us in time to ship. But yes, it's mostly it's an invite event. You have to invite only where some of the top rated beers on Rate Beer the brewers are then invited to the festival.
That's great, and I'm sure when Justin comes back, we'll get a recap of that event in a couple of weeks. So let's do a quick wrap up. Ann, anything going on? Are you thinking about New York City Beer Week at all?
So much, yeah. We're doing our list for New York City Beer Week. So many great beers. I'm doing an event with 42 of them on draft. I'm actually really what I'm thinking of is going to visit their farm.
Yeah.
And that's a,
you know, that's a great idea. We should do a visit to your hop farm.
Absolutely.
And you guys want to set the... Is there anything else going on with you guys? You're just planting? Are you waiting for the snow to melt?
Waiting for our roof to thaw.
I dug some hops out of the snow today.
And you brought one of your colleagues, too? Quick introduction. Yeah. Come on. What's your name?
Dan Kaminsky.
Hey, Dan. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. I'm glad to be
Thanks.
Here. Thank you.
So what do you guys do at this time of year on a rooftop garden? You just wait for the snow to melt or what?
It's a lot of organizational stuff going on. More, you know, the books, computers that we don't usually deal with as farmers.
Do you have to pay rent to be on the roof of that fancy building?
Yeah, we do. Come on.
They don't just give it to you?
No.
I thought you were saving them like thousands of dollars in air conditioning costs.
If you know of anyone who wants to give us a roof, though...
We'll take it.
Put that out there. You got it. And then Andy,
you say
something nice to in German auf Deutsch.
So ich grüße alle Deutschen, die wo hier jetzt in New York sind und hab viel Spaß. Also ich war sehr überrascht und sehr beeindruckt.
He is so articulate, man. I love that guy.
Thank you.
I don't think it made any sense. I didn't understand it.
Joel, you're out, man. And BR, anything else?
My vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
Just that we'll be at Brewer's Choice during New York City Beer Week.
And that's always our favorite event. We got over 40 brewers, including Dude to Sell coming down. We love that. So Ann's going to be one of our host committee this year. NewYorkCityBrewersChoice.com. Check it out. February 24th, New York City Beer Week. Support it. So many good things are happening. And again, thanks to all our special guests here. Go through the room. Say your name quick. One.
Ann.
Dan.
Katrina.
Keely.
Andy.
Joel.
BR.
And Jimmy, thanks for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. All right. We'll see you next time on heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks to Jack Inslee, Justin Kennedy. Rock on. Woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website,
or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.